Tanya Dungaskigon, the Nanzewa Dahusa Dadje, Ungahuen, the Hadiwa Nodas, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
Well, there you go. This is Aboriginal Voices right here on CFRC. Welcome to Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And you know, it's interesting that Sean Story and I are going to be here for a while tonight.
How are we?
Ani Nichkiwink, Doug Farquhar, Jishnikos, Minwa, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Ishnabi Noe Win. Aboriginal Voices, another Tuesday evening, and it's summertime. Look what's going on out there. It's lovely. Well, 28 degrees is lovely. How are you doing with the weather?
Well, it could be just a hair cooler.
Well, as it cools off tonight, we're going to have our summer cooking by the open fire. So I hope you got yourself all together for that one. And, you know, I got the wood in. We got it all set. We had a couple of staff from around the campus come and help. And we got it all started up. And now we got hot coals out there. And
Yeah. Lovely.
And you know why they wanted to start it up? They said, oh.
They want
to
eat.
Yeah, they ran over to a grocery store, came back with a few things. So they're looking at what we're going to do tonight and how much grill space or how much space are they going to have to cook. And I said, oh, you're going to have the whole fire to yourself after we're finished.
Yeah. We're not going to be that long.
Sure we are. We're going to be long enough to get some good old-fashioned food together.
Yeah.
There was an interesting conversation that I had on the weekend as I was planning for what you and I could do and what I'm going to work on and what you might be working on. And it's interesting because the conversation flows from getting the food ready and started cooking to now what do we talk about? And that was the question. So Carly, Dr. Carly said, I got a question for you. If you're going to cook something that takes longer than 5 minutes, do you have dead air?
What's that?
Do you have dead air while you're waiting for the food to cook?
Oh, no.
No. So I said, we'll have to come up with some things to talk about. And she said, well, how do you do that? Do you have to plan ahead? I said,
it's a good thing she's a doctor.
Well.
She, right? She's a doctor?
She, yep.
Yeah.
She's very good.
Well.
At cooking.
Apparently very good, except at things radio concerns.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to show her. She's listening right now, so be careful. You might have to see her one day. And that's,
oh, yeah? What's the matter?
Just say, you, just a sec, I'm going to give you dead air.
Wait a minute, you insulted me. Like, well, that's fine, I can put on...
No, she wouldn't be like that, honest. She's probably laughing right now.
I can put on a selection of music.
Okay, so before we get to music tonight here on Aboriginal Voices, we're going to start... I'll get my first thing ready because it'll take a while to cook up and get it going, but I'll explain it all as we go like we normally do. And then you can do yours and then put more music on. And I've got a second one I'm going to try to do
tonight. Alrighty.
Yeah, but it's interesting because just for you, I pulled out one of these gourmet Canadien cookbooks, and it comes in two languages.
Is this a gourmet Canadian cookbook?
It was designed...
It says Le Gourmet Canadien.
Mm-hmm. And if you look here, look on this page.
It's got a weird cat and mouse and a funny chef-looking guy.
Is that a cat or a skunk?
It's a cat.
Oh, from here, from the angle you were showing me, it looks like black and
white
tail.
How long have you had this book, Douglas?
Oh.
Could you not see this was a cat?
Okay, but look at it from the side. Yeah, it's like...
Still a cat.
Oh, no, it's got a big white stripe around the...
What do you think this is? A mouse?
Oh, Minnie Mouse.
No, it's not
Mighty Minnie. Mouse.
It's not a Minnie Mouse, no dress.
It's a Shouty Mouse.
Anyways, there's a fish. Sorry, there's a fish as well. Chef is holding a fish. Mm-hmm. His fish.
This cookbook.
It's somewhat cartoonish.
Yeah, this cookbook was put together at a school.
I'm going to say in the 70s?
No.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Probably.
Because Jamie was just
feels
a little
like
guy.
Feels like the 70s to me.
Jamie was just a little guy, and this was a fundraiser. But it was recipes put in by many of the people who
were
involved in the school.
Okay.
Anyway, you can read it. You just read
this?
It.
This? No.
You can, right here.
You'll have to read that. Oh, is it English on the other side?
Yeah.
All right.
But you better...
But it doesn't say anything in here about when they made it.
No, that was the only problem.
There's no
date anywhere. I looked around. But I'm going to start with, you got my papers there.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
There you go.
I got to get this together just right because it's fevolar. Or another word in English, pork and beans.
Oh, okay.
So what you're going to need to get, and so I prepared.
So it's only two. It's only two recipes on a page.
No, there are four on this page.
How do you see four?
One to ragu, you know, like a stew.
Well, what is that one?
That's the French version of that.
Yeah, so there's only two recipes.
Yeah, okay. No, but if you read this one, slightly different than that
okay,
one.
Okay, so two entrees, two selections on each page.
Okay.
And then there is a English translation.
Right. That's good. So pork and beans, this is what I have for you tonight. And I'm sure glad you brought your Dutch oven for me to share.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's looking good.
You're welcome.
I was waiting for a while before you got here, I had to, you know, we told you we got the fire going but I had to get the beans ready. And what I've been doing for many hours, it says 12 hours in here, but I set it up so I did it starting at 8 o'clock this morning, thinking that we would start cooking at 6, which, yeah, it's only 7 minutes after 6.
We should have started early.
Yeah, well, with this one. But I soaked the beans in cold water, and I just let them sit. And then 3 minutes before 6, I put them on the fire, so they're starting to boil right now. And so I'm going to boil them for about 30 minutes or so.
Okay.
And maybe a little less.
Now, did you soak those things?
Did
you just say that?
Yeah, I soaked them since 8 o'clock this morning and put them on to boil at about 5 to 6. So I got it started a little bit. And so it's going to cook for 30 minutes while I'm getting the rest ready. And then, but after it's boiled, I'm going to drain the water, save the beans. I got a sieve here that'll kind of colander, but that'll keep the beans from falling through, but the water go out. So then what I do is then I just put the beans in and the other ingredients that I have in a pot. So that was 2 cups of white beans I put into the pot and filled it right up and let it soak. And they're on a boil. Oh, yeah, I just got the signal. Yeah, look at them over there.
All good?
Yeah, the couple of guys who are doing the work, they're also checking to make sure.
Is that a thumbs up?
That's a thumbs up. It's boiling, so it just started. And then what we'll do is I'll take the other ingredients for this with a little bit of salt pork. Now, you don't have to have salt pork. You can get, some pork from the butcher and have it all chopped up for you and no problem. And you need about, probably about 400 grams of pork in this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got some molasses, nice blackstrap molasses. So we're going to put that on it. Yeah, 4 tablespoons of molasses. That's important. Don't skimp out on that one.
No, you definitely don't want to.
And I got an onion here, and what I've been doing has been getting it cut into pieces, just a few pieces here and there. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'll put them in the bottom of the pot afterwards, and so I'll have it set up so that we got the... Well, the last thing is dried mustard. You need... half a teaspoon of dried mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what's your technique for cutting onions?
Oh, I
and not crying.
Oh, I freeze it. Well, I throw it in the freezer for about 10-15 minutes and then take it out.
Yeah.
So I can still cut it, but the water is not running all over.
Throw it in and then cut it. Yeah.
So is that what you do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We must have learned from the same chef.
Probably not.
Anyway, so what you have to do after we get going is we'll do the layering. So I'll layer some beans and some of the pork and and then onion go on top of it, and then a little bit of the molasses, and then each layer. So if you do it right, you can put the molasses at 4 different layers and go with it like that. So let's take this over and put it by the fire. And what we can do is get it ready. And it's going to have to bake for about a little bit, not too long. They say bake it on a low heat.
Yeah.
For about 8 hours. But I'm not going to do that. We're going to...
Probably start it.
Yeah.
Way earlier than...
Yeah, I would have had to start it yesterday and get it ready for today. But we're going to do this.
Was it the magic of radio?
Ah, you're right. Might have to add a bit of water because we're working with this crackling fire.
Seems like you're going to have to add a lot of water.
Not too much. Give it a stir every once in a while. But you know your Dutch oven is really good. Like this is cast iron, so it's not going to do much of losing it out the sides or out over the top because the lid is going to hold it down.
Maybe no better a cooking tool
than
the Dutch oven.
Mm, yeah, a cast iron one at that.
Cast iron Dutch oven, and at least 1 spoon.
I brought my I have 2 cast iron frying pans, the one that's sort of 10 inches diameter. It has a handle on one side and another place where you can put your hand underneath so you can lift from both sides.
And
it's just like you've got 2 sort of U-shaped handles on your Dutch oven.
I do.
Well, this frying pan has one of those.
Yeah, on the one end,
and a handle on the other side.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And I got an 8-inch frying pan, cast iron frying pan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know,
going smaller.
Yeah, and I didn't think it was going to be so good, but it's going to work out really well tonight for my second piece that I'm going to talk about a little bit later on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to give you some space.
Yeah, now I remember.
You do.
Kinda, yeah.
So how was it? The cooking and the crackling fire, is it working well?
It is. It is. It's nice. It's warm, of course, because it's fire.
Yeah, and it's only 24 degrees outside our studios. So,
only.
Yeah. So when we go back in, you're going to enjoy
the air conditioning. Yes. Definitely the air conditioning.
But, you know, here's the question for you. How come we don't have any flies or mosquitoes hanging around the fire? You know, I haven't seen one since we started it. Have you?
Because I've been hitting them all.
Oh, okay. No, but it's really weird because at my place, I live north of the city, so we get deer flies and you know... We don't have very many dragonflies, So I'm thinking that's the problem this year. Not many dragonflies, and a lot more of the deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, anything else that likes to sting us.
Yeah. I guess it's the fire, probably.
It's almost like we should be poking it now.
Poke it now.
Good thing I've got the some of the hot coals sitting around the Dutch oven rather than in that direct fire, because the flames are pretty hot. But you're gonna need them for yours, I'll bet.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, because it does take a while.
Yeah.
It does take a while to cook.
Well, before we do your cooking, I'll let you get organized with everything, because I've got the workspace. We got a tiny little table here to work on. So I'll clean my things off. You know, I've got everything ready there to enjoy baking the baked beans.
Uh-huh.
And let's go to Digging Roots. I'll send you back, everybody, back to the radio.
Okay, go ahead.
Into the studio, and we'll do a Digging Roots, and then come right back out.
I'll put mine on now and just tell you about it later.
Okay.
You can't slow down, can't sit still. Can I get some peace of mind? You can't slow down, can't sit still. Can I get some peace of mind? Made a change was to be brave and unrestrained, leading with our hearts, not with our brains. Fear will be our courage now, hope will be our strength. Can't slow down, can't sit still, can I get some peace of mind? Stand up, step up, get out of the way. Sit down if you got nothing to
Oh, there you go. That was Digging Roots with Shoshana and Raven. And mm-hmm. I think their son played on that one, too. He's a guitarist.
Could have.
As well. Mm-hmm. Great one. It's called Shkoden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's great. If you like that, check out Digging Roots. They're playing all over the place. Raven has been. Yeah. But anyway, I'm thinking, I wonder what you have been thinking about for food.
Oh, well, you're making such great food, I thought I would add a side. And I say great for other people. Because I'm not a fish eater.
Oh, that's for the next one, yeah.
So, just a dab, like people know. But I thought, well, what goes good with fish?
Oh, is that right?
Baked potato?
Baked potatoes, oh.
Fish, baked potatoes, some, what do you call it? Beans?
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
So we're going to have pork and beans.
Yeah, so.
Baked potato.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about my salmon later.
All righty. Like, I knew what he was going to make.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
And what you need is at least four russet potatoes. I'm sure you could have as many as you want, really.
Well,
but the fire is here, so I guess we could go
for. You could do a couple more because the two, folks here.
Yeah, do as many as you want, really. It's more of a technique than an actual recipe.
Yeah, I got two thumbs up.
as it sits right now, it's four russet potatoes. You can have as many as you like. There's no judgment here. Some extra virgin olive oil, and what you want to do is take that olive oil and douse.
Oh yeah,
maybe not douse, but rub your potatoes with the oil, with the extra virgin olive oil. So rub that all up good, and you take some kosher salt. That's the large grain salt. And you vigorously cover the potato.
Mm.
Yeah, skin and all, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And then some black pepper. So you put that all on the outside. You take your tin foil and you wrap it around once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
Probably once. Twice. It's a pretty heavy fire over there.
It is, yeah.
But you have your bean pot. Bean pot?
Yep.
Bean oven.
We got that crock pot there.
Crock pot.
Yeah.
The crock pot is over there, and what I thought I might try... So it's not directly in the fire. There is a bit of a buffer.
Oh, yeah.
That we take these potatoes and sort of place them on top.
On the lid.
On the lid and allow the heat to come up through the Dutch oven, the beans, and into the potato and cook it that way.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And if that doesn't work, well, we get more potatoes.
Well, if it doesn't work, we'll just put the coals off to the side and just put the potatoes in their packets in the coals.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
But off to the side, not directly in the fire.
Yeah, because that crackling fire is...
Yeah, you'll have
sounds
burnt
great,
potatoes.
But...
And you don't want burnt potatoes.
No.
It's not a good time.
The skins are good, though, when you do them with the way you're saying.
But burnt?
No.
They're not good for it.
Right.
So you want them to be close, but not engulfed in the flames.
Hmm. Okay. So how long do you have to leave them in there?
Till they're cooked.
Oh.
Take your knife. I would say probably a good half hour at least.
Okay. Do you turn them over then?
Well, yeah, you could.
Okay.
You probably should. But I don't think you really need to. So, there you go. Baked potato on the fire.
Mm-hmm. Now, Now, do you do anything special, like putting butter in with them?
Or no.
do you make a white sauce to go in it?
Oh, gosh, no.
No?
No. We're out here, we're roughing it.
Oh, okay.
But
what if I run over and get some of those chives?
I do have some bacon.
Oh.
I stopped by the store, got some sour cream and butter.
Nice. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Like moderation, right?
Oh, okay.
Like you take all this in moderation. You don't want to eat four of these.
No.
In a sitting.
Just one.
Just, you know, one. Mm-hmm. And then you want to cut that open. After it's cooked and everything, and you use your fork and mash it up a bit. I think everybody out there has made a baked potato or at least been in the proximity of a baked potato. So that's what you would do. You put that all in there, put the bacon in there. Bon appetit.
Mm.
I heard somebody say at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Back there on the TV.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it's a bon appetit.
I think there was this old lady.
Hmm?
Old lady. I think she hawked Oster blenders. I think.
Huh.
And I think her show is called Bon Appetit.
Yeah, you're way ahead of me.
It was a million years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think that it was probably on a channel 6.
That's what I think
if people out there know the show,
mm-hmm.
I only ever had two channels. Three on a good day or night.
Was that a lady who was went
she
to
was
France?
An old lady. Oh, I don't know where she was. Not that one.
No, okay.
No, not that one. It was a different, it was a Canadian lady.
Okay, good.
The one you're thinking of is a British lady.
Yes.
And no, not her. Not that one.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So we'll go with, this is Baking with Sean. So you've got those potatoes working away.
Yeah, I can hear them boiling at the moment.
Ooh.
Boiling?
Or
I don't
hissing?
Know. I can hear them cooking.
Yeah.
I can smell them.
I hope that's not the baked beans going. When do you cook the bacon then to go on it?
I cooked it before I came.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Because I was going to get out my small cast iron frying pan because I'm going to need
it for my next. Oh, yeah, you could do that. Well, shoot. I should have just brought it raw.
Well, I could have used.
Yeah, because she could have used some of that.
That's why we got to get together ahead of time.
For the goings on over there.
Because I could use the bacon grease as part of my next one.
It says lard.
Yeah, well, it does, doesn't it?
It says lard in the French version.
Oh, okay. No, this one.
No.
Are
you talking about the...
The Fevolard? Lard? Yeah.
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 So, lard.
Baked beans. Pork and beans.
And you know it's going to be good when there's lard in it.
How much did it say? Oh, way too much.
As much as you want.
Yeah. How much do you want?
How much you got?
It says half a pound of salty lard. Wow. Yeah. I know a few dietitians who are saying, wait a minute. Yeah.
It's French cooking, so it's okay.
Mm. Okay. Which reminds me, I was telling you earlier about Dr. Carly asking us the question about what happens while you're cooking. Well, we're showing her right now what we do when we do cooking together. We spend time chatting about things that, you need time for our food to cook. So we're doing this. But she did ask me a question based on what a couple of weeks ago, or no, I guess in the month of May, we did all that series on remote and rural healthcare.
Uh-huh.
And she was concerned about food for people who are in the, the remote, especially the remote areas, where they get their foods for the whole year, you know, so that they get healthy diets. But we also had the dietitian on who talked about, you know, the importance of country food or why you need certain types of foods in your diet and how to balance your diet. And Dr. Carly asked me, one of the things that she's been pondering is in remote areas, especially in the winter time, where did the people who lived in the remote areas get their vitamin C? And that was her question. So I said, well, that would be an excellent question for you and me. For both of us to think about and talk about right here on the radio, because we'd like people to think about where do you get the right vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin K, you know. Not so much your vitamin
E. Who says those are the right ones?
Well, in moderation, you need them all. Right? So, Let me ask you a question. Where do you get your vitamin C? And that was, you know, I started thinking about it as I sat there.
I don't. Where do I get it?
Well, if you were in a remote area, where would you get it? I mean, vitamin C you can get from some of the greens that we eat for salads. Yeah. You can get it in citrus fruit. So you can get there. You can get vitamin C through some of the meats that we eat.
Is that, yeah. I was going to say peppers, I think, through a green pepper.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's one of the questions.
Let me consult the internet.
Yeah. Oh, wait a sec. That's funny, because I said, I think what Sean will end up doing is using Gemini. Yeah. Where do I get vitamin C in my remote setting? But then I think back to some of the diaries that I read for example,
says here, green peppers are good for a source of vitamin C.
There you go. How many green peppers?
Not
do you
that I don't know. As many as you want.
And they give you the actual information.
Beans, corn beans, and squash, I suppose.
There you go. Yeah.
That'd be everything you need.
I guess it would. Because you can have it in a stew and a soup and, you know, just on a plate. And, but where else would you get vitamin C? Was the question. So, and Mary came along a little bit into the discussion that Dr. Kali and I were having, and she kind of said, "Well, you know, in the far north, remotely, the people would get it from frozen fish. They would get it from seal skin or whale skin that would be there." And then I got thinking, well, you know, way up north you get Arctic char, and you know, you also get salmon, so you get some of the vitamins from that, and the omega-3 that you need from the fish. I know that you can get it from plants, as you said, from some plants, but you can get some trees have good vitamins in them. Labrador tea, for example, you know, that Labrador plant is so small it grows in the tundra, you know, so you could actually go through that. So I'm just wondering, did your Gemini come up with anything?
Gemini says traditional foods.
That's what we said, but what are the traditional
foods?
So,
of course, your fish and marine life, vitamin D, the three fatty acids, all three of them, vitamin B, the eggs are a good source of A and C. So that'd be fish eggs. Wild game, like moose, caribou, deer, duck, geese, rabbit, bear, protein, iron, and various vitamins. Wild berries.
Okay, there you go.
Sorry, wild plants.
Wild plants.
And berries.
Yeah. But the berries, they could be stored. You can put them in and dry them.
It says here, rich form of vitamin A, vitamin C, iron, calcium, and magnesium.
Cranberries.
So berries, blueberries, cranberries, Saskatoon berries.
Yeah.
Choke cherries are a good source of vitamin C. So there you go, Dr. Kylie.
That's right. But that's...
No, but that's true. It is
important to think about. And here we are talking about eating foods, and now you've given us...
You get anything from potato?
Oh, I'll bet you do, because you get your starches from the potato.
Potato. What is this here Gemini know about baked potato vitamin?
Oh, and it says if you put sour cream on it and bacon.
Oddly, no. Also vitamin C from the potato.
Oh, is that right? So, each
one. It says B6, B9, B3, niacin. Other B vitamins. You get your potassium or magnesium. So there you go. Oh, copper. You get the copper as well.
You get copper from it. So and zinc?
Apparently. No magnesium. Manganese.
You get magnesium from seeds, like pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know you need about 60 milligrams of seeds, which is about a quarter of a cup.
Baking a potato retains more of its potassium content compared to boiling.
There you go.
Potassium can leach into the cooking water. However... Vitamin C can still degrade with heat. So there you go. You got to eat it raw.
Not raw. You got to bake it. It said baked potato is the best way.
No, it can still degrade with heat.
Yeah, but not too much.
Yeah, whether baked or boiled. Anyways, there you go.
Perfect.
That's more than you've ever wanted to know about baked potato.
Well, I've got a song for you.
Take off.
Calling All Dancers, DJ Shub. This is instrumental, so you can get up and dance. And as we go and deal with hot coals, that might be what we'll have to do. Here you go.
keeping my back up against the wall. I'm holding my head up so I don't fall. No, it ain't too late. We ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. Putting the fight down, taking the high road out of town. Taking my mind off the fight inside. Walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
Is the number two killer of all cancers. It can affect anyone. But with early detection, the survival rate is estimated at 90%. The key? A simple test you do in your own home.
I'm Ann Murray, and I lost a very dear friend to colon cancer. He was 49, and had he been tested, he might still be with us. Talk to your doctor. Get your test. Not knowing is not the answer.
For more information or to donate, visit coloncancercanada.ca. Colon Cancer Canada. We're behind, you're behind.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Sean, that's a really neat idea, borrowing some instruments. I just wonder, do they have a theremin?
A theremin?
Yeah, you know, that's a device where you don't have any strings, any reeds, anything to bang. You
theremin.
Just have air.
A theremin.
A theremin.
A theremin.
You know, where you just take your
hands. I don't know. I've looked online to purchase a theremin.
Oh,
and,
okay.
They do exist. They are a bit pricey.
Oh.
Not like out of the realm of... not like Bezos money or
okay.
Musk dollars.
No, but
it's
it's more than $100, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just wondered because I've been thinking about, you know, that can you carry it around with you or do you have to and set it up and or is it big and
well,
heavy?
Some of them you can. Hmm. A lot of them you can actually. See, there's some there, an example there, and the sound is much like the opening of Doctor Who.
Oh, now
also,
maybe that's why I like them.
Also, Star Trek may have had.
I was thinking of Star Trek, but Doctor Who is even better.
Okay, yeah. Just a second. Let me see if I can find an example of the theremin. You know, just so the folks at home will know what Douglas is talking about.
Mm. Well, I have to get back to my fire pit in a minute. So,
yeah. This will get you there quicker because it's Doctor Who. Here, let's try this one.
Get delicious deals at Tim's with Tim's Faves. Order any size brewed coffee.
There you go.
Doesn't sound like
hot
that.
Or iced, and add a classic favorite like a donut.
We're too close to the fire.
That's what it was.
We're too close to the fire.
There you go. That's what it sounds like.
That's so cool. And that person was touching nothing but air.
I play the theremin.
She'll explain as to how it works.
In this video, I would like to give you an overview about the things you need to know when you are composing for the theremin. As the theremin is a young instrument, the repertoire is still a little bit limited. So my theremin colleagues and I are always happy about new compositions for the theremin. So let's get started.
Well, there you go. You get new.
Yeah, you get new things.
Anyway, that's kind of neat. I just wondered if they would. That didn't look too big, so you might be able to carry that around with you. Listen, we have a few minutes here, so I'll just go back to the fire and do my last part. I've got the little table set up here, and I'm going to do salmon croquette.
Salmon.
Yeah, basically, it's like crab cakes, except we're going to use salmon today. But you could use any of the fish that you get from freshwater fishing as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, it kind of goes with our theme of anywhere food supply. You know, you can get perch or bass or whitefish or, well, I don't think you'd want to do sturgeon. In cakes, but
you could try.
You could try. All right, so today I brought some salmon. I have nicely flaked salmon, so you know, basically it's a small container. It's about 2 cups of salmon, and it's funny because I had to get some mashed potatoes. And if I'd known you were coming along, I would have grabbed some of your big. Potatoes and boiled them up and mashed them. right out of your bag.
That would have been good.
Yeah. So anyway, and then some butter, 2 tablespoons of butter, and 4 cups of the mashed potatoes, a small onion. I took it out of the freezer just about 10 minutes ago, so it should be okay to chop up. The recipe calls for parsley. You know, so if you have some parsley around, that's great. Chop it all up. But I also like thyme.
Oh, yeah.
So I can use thyme and parsley. And sometimes I'll use the chives out of my garden. You know, just kind of chop them up too a bit. One egg, we're going to beat it up. And a bunch of breadcrumbs. And it just says bunch. Like just because you need, we're going to use the breadcrumbs to cover this, and some salt and pepper. So here's what happens.
So you make the cake.
First we're going to do the onions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to saute the onions, and I'm sauteing them in butter, and right in the little frying pan we have, and then what we do is we take that away from the heat and we add it to the salmon and the parsley or thyme if you have it. And then we're going to combine the mashed potatoes in with the salmon mixture there and the onion and then add a bit of salt and pepper. And you basically kind of mix it all together. And then we're going to form them into, you can kind of spread them out in the bowl with your spoon.
Okay.
And then you make them into like little cakes or patties, right?
Yeah.
Try to make them round and then flatten it, okay? Then what we do is we roll it in a bit of flour, you know, just the little croquette that we have,
mm-hmm.
and then dip it in all the whole thing right in. I've got a spoon with holes in the bottom of the spoon. That allows a lot more of the egg to go into it, but also then drain back into the bowl. So, and then I've got it set, and I just then take the croquette with all the egg mixture on it, and I drop it into my breadcrumbs, and I pat the breadcrumbs all around it, as many as you can. And then, you know, my little frying pan, it's perfect size to make 4 of these croquettes.
Croquette.
Yeah, they're round. Okay.
All right.
And you can make them oblong if you like. You can make them into a sort of a rectangular blob. Doesn't matter. I've got curved edges because I'm going to put it in my 8-inch round cast iron frying pan. I put in a bit of oil, a little bit of vegetable oil.
Okay.
Okay, you don't need the really expensive stuff, but don't let the oil boil.
Oh, definitely no.
No, just let it heat up. And, it's been sitting over on the coals rather than in the flames, and so it looks like it's good. And then we take our little croquette and gently, don't drop them, because that oil will splash,
burn you.
So you take them and you just put them in the pan, and they'll sizzle and cook all around. And what you want is you want your coating to crisp up, because we've already mashed and cooked the potatoes and mashed them. The salmon will cook in there, and the onions are there already pre-cooked, so everything's looking good. And it will go so well with that baked potato when you pull it off after 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's looking, it started there.
I think we had to pull them out sooner than that.
And the baked beans are looking good, too. Mm-hmm. They're smelling great.
Wonderful.
So we'll see what happens. You don't have to fry them long. These are basically, turn it over once.
Okay.
So you let it crisp up, then turn it over and crisp that next side. You'll have enough oil, so if you want to make another batch, you can. While the first batch is cooking, then you go back and make up the new ones, so. All right, so we're doing okay?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And, so I'll get a little closer here and just turn them over. There we go, all set. All right, so we're doing well. We've got another few minutes for some music if you want. I'm not sure what music you would like there, Sean.
For those of you who still think I used...
Well, somebody's trying to get into our show.
I know, right? Jerk.
Yeah, let's see what happens here. Let's see. Oh, Cody Coyote. There's a word in here you don't like, but you want to play it? Revolution?
Sure.
And Cody Coyote is from the Ottawa area. And he's doing really well up there. Lots and lots of new music coming out. So we'll see if we can get some from him and for a little bit later on. Anything you want to say about your potato before we go to music?
Nothing.
Well, we have at least half a minute.
It's almost done. I'm going to take it off now.
Okay. Now, when you go to take it off, I notice you're wearing one of those of gloves. Does that help? It's kind of like an oven glove.
It doesn't hurt.
Oh, okay. It's much better than the one I had, a welder's glove.
Yeah.
There's no way to squeeze the potato. I would have mashed potatoes unintentionally. Okay.
You just go in there with your tongs and... brace it and poke it with a knife.
Oh, okay. So we'll get that ready for 7 o'clock. But here is Cody Coyote with Revolution.
People think there's only a few Indians left. There's millions of them in the whole continent of America, which includes South America. And one day they're going to be asking for their rights. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing next to the black people too. So it's either give now or die later.
Time for you to lock in. Freedom's why we rockin'. Walking that we blockin'. Enough with all the talking. Time for you to hop in. Got the people watching. Stopping and we stomping with knowledge that we dropping. Dismantle institutions. Mishandle distribution. Systemic contributions to those in prosecutions. Media illusions. Weakening solutions. They carry racial bias just like the Constitution. This evil ain't a friend of me. I'll break who you send to me. Working with the government. You're working with the enemy. Gives me energy to wait for my integrity. Abolish any governance while breaking their supremacy. Forget about the laws when you're standing for the cause. We're fighting for our lives and the ones that we have lost. This is for my chalk, written on sidewalks. Listen to my talk, this is for my part. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in make them tremble. Why they keep on staring? Don't care about discomfort, the Kens and the Karens. Think of where they settled. Think about the parents. Complicit in behaviors with the privilege they inherit. Need to break the cycle. Need to take a stand. Need to check your friends. Start to look within. Need to be the idol. Be the helping hand. Need you to defend the people being hit.